Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to another episode of the Basketball Truth presented by the Red Light Sports Network with your host, Kevin Cunningham. If you check out the redlightsportsnetwork.com, that's our homepage. That's got all of our archived podcasts and blogs, not only regarding the NBA and college basketball, which is probably the one sport I would pick to choose. If I had to pick a sport to choose to watch or cover or whatever for the rest of my life, it would probably be college basketball. So this show isn't only about the NBA, but college basketball, high school, recruiting into the college ranks, international stuff, anything regarding basketball, that's what this show is about, the Basketball Truth. If you want to follow us over on Twitter at RLSN Basketball, that'd be great. My personal account is at KIDCUNI. Tweeting about just about anything, sports-wise, for the most part. Again, the RedLightSportsNetwork.com's got, you know, not only basketball stuff, but obviously stuff on the NFL, college football. Hockey, I haven't seen a ton about, but fantasy sports, if that's your thing, we got that covered. On the right side, near the top of the homepage, you got the DraftKings Click and Go logo. DraftKings is all about fantasy sports, whether it's baseball, hockey, NBA, any sport, realistically, for, you know, if you want to play a fantasy lineup for a quarter or for free, even, they have those kind of games. Also up to, you know, $1, $20, $1,000. Content your fantasy needs are, sport-wise anyway, filled over at DraftKings. So, again, check out the RedLightSportsNetwork.com for all of our archived podcasts and blogs regarding just about any sport you can think of. So getting right into this show, I mean, it's pretty much an NBA Finals preview. Yesterday I talked, you know, about anything else going on in the NBA, whether it was coaching changes and, you know, outlooks for teams like the Magic. Who else did I go over? The Bulls, and there was one more. Oh, Gentry and the Pelicans. So I kind of ran through those teams. Those coaches, whether I thought they would be successful. I didn't necessarily like the Skiles hire in Orlando. I think they've got a very bright future roster-wise. I personally love their team. You know, I don't necessarily think Aaron Gordon's the next big thing, but I do think that basically every young player around him has the potential to be extremely good. I think Victor Oladipo is just consistently going to get better and better. He'll be a multi-time All-Star. Orlando's future's bright. I just didn't necessarily like the Skiles hire. In New Orleans, you got Alvin Gentry, got Anthony Davis. Gentry wants to move the ball up and down the court. Anthony Davis can do that. He's a superstar now. Averages, I'm not sure what it is point-wise, but it's, you know, something like 20 and 10 with 3 blocks a game. He can move. So he'll work in Gentry's system. I thought that was a great hire. And then the Bulls, Tom Thibodeau. People thought he got disrespected on the way out. I think he did a fine job as a coach. I don't think he got thrashed by the Bulls organization, you know, by letting him go and saying he was a decent part of the success. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I thought Thibodeau was a solid coach. I think he's an amazing assistant coach. I think he gets the most out of players defensively. Offensively, he has his limitations. He pushes players to the limits, you know, unnecessarily. I forgot what year it was. It might have been the end of 2014, where Chicago wasn't playing for anything at the end of the year against Charlotte, and Joakim Noah was, you know, not 100%, and he still played like 43 minutes in a game at the end of the year. That definitely, you know, turned people the wrong way on, you know, Thibodeau and his thinking of just going all out consistently. You know, you look this year and the Clippers, point guard Chris Paul played in every single game, and, you know, realistically, one game was the difference between the Clippers having home court in Game 7 against the Spurs and them not having home court. You know, I'm potentially not matching up with the Spurs, saving more energy, getting to the next round, you know, maybe getting over Houston. So, it, you know, it's just something to think about that, you know, if you can play every game to your heart's content, then do it. But at the same time, if you have a rest here and there, you know, San Antonio goes on one extreme, Chris Paul goes on the other, along with Tom Thibodeau. And it just rubbed Bulls people the wrong way. So I love the hire of Fred Hoiberg. I thought that coming into next year, college basketball-wise, that Iowa State was the team to beat. I don't think they're a juggernaut, you know, because without Hoiberg, I don't think they're the favorite going into next year. But with Hoiberg, if he was there on the sidelines with that team, I thought that Iowa State would be my favorite to win college basketball next year. So I love Hoiberg. I think he's going to do great with the Bulls. Problem is the Bulls are getting a little older and their guys are starting to show injury problems. I think Pau Gasol is not old, but he's getting older. You know, he had to miss a few games in the conference semis against Cleveland this year. You got Joakim Noah. Consistently, there's almost always something nagging him. Whether he's out or whether he's playing at 90%, there's always something with him. So that's a concern going forward. Derrick Rose, there's obvious concern. So, you know, the team's not perfect. I think they have to sign Jimmy Butler long-term. I think whether it's $22, $23 million a year now, as opposed to waiting a year or letting him go. You know, if you wait a year and the cap jumps to $108 million, that's what it's projected to jump to 2 years from now in 2016-17 season, then he's going to be worth, you know, $30 to $35 million a year if you're paying top dollar. So to pay $22, $24 million as opposed to $32, $34 million long-term, you want to get that deal done. That's what the Bulls are faced with going forward. So, you know, as a Celtics guy, I love Thibodeau as an assistant. He made the Celtics defenses spectacular during their little big three run. But as a head coach, I'm not exactly sold. I don't think he's a great head coach. I love Fred Hoiberg, so, you know, I think the Bulls will be just fine with Hoiberg. I don't know if they'll necessarily get over the hump and win a title, but they'll be fine with Hoiberg. So that was pretty much my show yesterday. If you want to check that out, again, check out the redlightsportsnetwork.com. You can check out us out on Twitter at RLSNBasketball. So that's where all of our stuff is archived, podcasts, and, you know, this is the show is the Blog Talk Radio. So if you can find us on there, The Basketball Truth, over on Blog Talk Radio, obviously feel free to give us a follow there as well. But today's show, all about the Warriors and Cavs. A lot of, you know, if you flip on the TV to any generic sports station, doesn't have to be ESPN, they'll talk about Stephen Curry and his MVP season and how great he was, which I thought he should be the MVP this year. Realistically, heading into the playoffs, give me LeBron James every time. But over the course of this season, I thought Curry had the best season. I still think LeBron James is the best player in basketball, no question about it. But Curry had the best season, so I would have given him MVP. You know, the thought that James Harden deserved it was not, I didn't understand that. Yeah, Houston's the 2 seed. Yeah, they did that without Dwight Howard for a solid portion of the year. James Harden, you know, deserves his dues. He had a great season, but for him to be an MVP is laughable to me. I think he's a great player. I think he's an A-minus player. I think Curry's pretty close to A+. I think Anthony Davis is probably A+. James is certainly A+. Durant, Westbrook. Westbrook's not an A+. He's probably an A. But to me, there's a difference between superstars and stars. I think James Harden's a star. I think Curry's probably a superstar. Anthony Davis is a superstar. LeBron James is a superstar. Durant, when he's healthy, is a superstar. He's the best scorer probably in league history if he doesn't, you know, sustain multiple injuries that, you know, limit him and shorten his career. He'll probably end up as NBA's all-time leading scorer. So he's a superstar to me, but not in the same class as Curry and LeBron. And LeBron is on a different level than everyone else because he can carry teams. He leaves Cleveland. Cleveland turns into the worst team in the league after going to the finals with LeBron. You take Steph Curry off the Warriors, they're still making the playoffs. They're not going to be the number one seed, but they're still going to make playoffs. He made a big difference. You got guys like Carmelo Anthony leading the Knicks to the second worst record in the league. That's not a superstar for you. There's no team that LeBron James will be on that finishes second worst in the league. That's just insane. That's how big the difference is to me. Whether it's an aging Miami team that doesn't have bigs, and LeBron still wins back-to-back titles, he goes 2 for 2, which, you know, I think any team that's newly formed in their first year should not win a title. And they didn't. The Dallas Mavericks were offensively extremely hard to stop that year. Put that on LeBron. I put that on the Heat being a newly formed team and Dallas just being incredibly hard to stop offensively. Then they win 2 straight, then they lose the Spurs. The Spurs last year was arguably the best team I've ever seen in the NBA. Offensively, they could not be stopped. That was the most efficient offensive team I've ever seen in my life, without question. So again, do I put that on LeBron? Dallas should have been favored in those finals in his first trip with Miami. In his last trip with Miami, going against the Spurs team that, like I said, is probably the best team I've ever seen. I don't consider that a loss for LeBron. He lost the final. But, yeah, he carried them in game 2 to give them their only win in that series. That series loss is not LeBron. The Philadelphia 76ers with Allen Iverson, they didn't lose that series because of Allen Iverson. I think Iverson isn't as unbelievable as everyone says he is. I think he's, you know, amazing, but I don't think he's, you know, one of the greats. But the 76ers didn't lose their final series because of AI. They lost it because of the supporting cast. They didn't have enough. No guy wins it on their own. The only guy realistically, and he didn't do it on his own, but he did it without another against Miami. Dirk didn't have stars around him, but he had a lot of B-plus players. Guys like Jason Terry and Chandler, even J.J. Barea was playing like a B-plus player in that series. Offensively, they were extremely hard to stop. Sean Marion, that was a really good Dallas team. They weren't, you know, an all-time great team, but they were really, like I said, they're just extremely hard to stop offensively. And the Heat were a newly formed team. No team beat that Dallas team. So, do I put that on LeBron as not being clutch or taking it away from his career? No. That's why I think the narrative of LeBron falling to 2-4 after this year, if the Warriors do beat them, that's not on LeBron to me. If he falls to 2-4 all-time in the NBA Finals series. That's not on him. The Dallas Mavs were just better than the Heat. The Spurs last year were just better than the Heat. This Warriors team, to me, is just better than the Cavs. I've got 30 minutes left on this show, but there's my pick, is Warriors in 6. I think you're getting a probably 80% Kyrie, maybe 70%. Even if Kyrie was 100%, I'd still favor the Warriors. I just trust the Warriors. You know, I tweeted this before this series was even finalized. It was during the conference finals while they were going on. That to me, to put it as simple as possible, I trust the Warriors' offense more than I trust the Cavs' offense. I trust the Warriors' defense more than I trust the Cavs' defense. The Warriors have a better bench than the Cavs. The Warriors have a better coach than the Cavs. It's that simple. The Cavs may have the better player in LeBron, but Curry's a superstar. So the drop-off there isn't, you know, a mile. LeBron's not easily the best player in the series. To me, he's the best player in the NBA. There's no questions asked. But there's not a a monstrous gap between LeBron and Durant, LeBron and Curry, LeBron and AD. Chris Paul's extremely good. I don't know if I would call him a superstar. But, you know, that said, LeBron's not, again, NBA history tells you that one guy cannot do it. You're getting a limited Kyrie, zero out of Kevin Love. And then you've got guys, you know, the next best guys on this Cavs team. Outside of LeBron is a 70 to 80% Kyrie. That's how I see him coming into these finals. And then you've got guys like Shumpert, J.R. Smith, Mozgov, guys that weren't even on the team. You know. That's why the Cavs are here, is because of those Knick guys. But, you know, so that's the supporting cast that LeBron James is with. They're not terrible. I mean, J.R. Smith is, you know, shooting like 39% from three this postseason, averaging 13 points. Shumpert is a fantastic defensive player. He's going to give Klay Thompson fits, or if they stick him on Curry, Curry's not going to have the easiest time in the world. So Shumpert's an extremely good defensive player. And he's shooting like 36% from three this postseason, averaging 10 points. You know, Mozgov's big. He helps them a lot inside. Tristan Thompson has been huge. So the drop-off, so to say, from Kevin Love to Tristan Thompson is not big, if anything at all. So this isn't a bad supported cast for LeBron. But you still have to understand that it is Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, a limited Kyrie, Matthew Dellavedova. So, you know, the Warriors are just a better team. I don't think anyone can dispute that. You want to say that Curry's better than LeBron? You know, you throw Curry on, this year's Curry on some of those teams LeBron took with the Cavs early in his career. Curry's not having the same impact. Arguably, there's no player that has had as much an impact carrying teams as LeBron ever in history, making it to five straight finals. That's not done. Unless you're the 1960s Celtics, that's just not, it doesn't happen. LeBron, he's on a different level than Curry. Again, I think Curry's a superstar in this league. I think he's a top four player. But LeBron's on a different level. So that's what the Cavs have going for them, is they have LeBron. He's been here before, the Warriors haven't. Outside of that, you know, people talk about the Warriors' inexperience. Curry's never been there. Klay's never been there. Draymond Green's never been there. Harrison Barnes has never been there. Bogut's never been there. Iguodala's got experience. Personally, I don't even think he's made an NBA Finals before, though. I don't think he has. So, you know, the Warriors are inexperienced in terms of finals experience, but this is an extremely good team. There's a reason why they fell 2-1 to Memphis and came back and won 3 straight. They're not new kids on the block. They've made the postseason the last few years. So they understand what it takes. And when you have the number one defensive team efficiency-wise with Golden State, that's going to take you places. Obviously, their offense doesn't have to be talked about. But their defense was number one in efficiency this year. That doesn't get talked about enough. Draymond Green is a great defensive player. Klay Thompson is a great defensive player. Bogut does his thing defensively. Festus Ezeli, he's not the greatest defensive player in the world, but he rebounds. He's been showing it this postseason. Reece Bates, great big off the bench. Iguodala, great forward off the bench. Livingston and Barbosa kind of give you that spark off the bench. This is a great Warriors team. And I'm going to look at the salary cap because I don't have the numbers in front of me. But that, you know, you look at this team's salary cap and where their money is going, and it, you know, you can understand why this team is as deep as they are and have as many stars as they do. because they're not paying, like, Curry's making, like, I think $11 mil a year. So, Golden State's just a better team, top to bottom. David Lee's making the most money on it. Oh, no, sorry. Klay Thompson is by $7,000. David Lee is making the second most amount of money on this team, and he doesn't play. Or no, I'm sorry, that starts next year. Even next year, David Lee will be the second highest paid player on this team. Although they have to re-sign Draymond Green, so I just lied. He'll be third. But so Curry's making $10 million this year. David Lee's making $15 million. Bogut's making $12 million. Let me put it this way. It's kind of ridiculous, but David Lee's making $15 million on this team. He's the highest paid player. He doesn't play. Bogut's second with $12.9 million. He's a starter, but he's probably their fifth best player. You got Curry, Thompson, Draymond. You could say Barnes. You could say Iguodala. Fourth or fifth best player. And he's making $12.9 million. Lee's on top with 15, not playing. Bogut at 12.9, probably their fifth best player. Iguodala at 12.2, their third most expensive player, comes off the bench. Then you get Curry at $10 million, which is obviously a bargain. Shaun Livingston, 5.3. That's their fifth highest paid player, is Shaun Livingston. Maurice Spates, 3.6 million. He's worth more than 3.6. He's a great big off the bench. But he's their sixth most expensive player. Then you got Klay Thompson at $3 million. Harrison Barnes at $3 million. Those are obviously both bargains. Leandro Barbosa at $1.4 million. That's also a bargain. Brandon Rush doesn't play. Festus Ezeli, $1.1 million. He plays more than, you know, what $1.1 million is worth. And Draymond Green at $900,000. He's obviously another bargain. To this team, I mean, it's pretty insane, realistically. Top to bottom, it's crazy how this team is laid out salary-wise. And next year, yeah, they have to re-sign Draymond Green, but this team is, I mean, I don't know if they can amnesty David Lee. I'm not sure if they have that amnesty in their back pocket or not. I think they do. But this team is, you know, for the most part, coming back next year. They're just a better team, top to bottom. David Lee is a former All-Star. He doesn't play. David Lee is a former All-Star. He doesn't play. They're the number one team defensively in the league, efficiency-wise, number two offensively. And you could make the obvious argument that they're the most explosive offense in the league, with the best shooting backcourt in probably league history. You have Andrew Bogut, Iguodala, Curry, Livingston, Spades, Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes, Barbosa, Ezeli, and Green. They go a legitimate 10 deep. That's not counting David Lee. I mean, you know, again, a former All-Star, the highest paid player on this team. They still go 10 deep, and they're the best team in the league. So the whole narrative of LeBron falling to 2-4 in the finals and hidden being, you know, it being his fault. First of all, the first finals he went to was a joke. The team he had was by far the worst supporting cast I've ever seen in my life that has made it to a final. That team was they were a bad team, minus LeBron. They were bad. That first finals, I don't put that on him losing. The first year with the Heat, a new team, going against Dirk, and that Mavs team that was unstoppable offensively, Dirk was unstoppable. They made it to the finals for a reason. That Mavericks team wasn't bad. That Mavericks team was just better than LeBron. That loss, I don't put on him. Then he wins two straight. Then he loses last year. Spurs team, like I said, probably the best team I've ever seen. The Shaq and Kobe team, forgot what it was, 01-02. Robert Ory was talking about it not that long ago, that that's probably the best team he's ever been on. He's won 7 rings. You know, you got the 2 best players in the league on the same team. So that team against last year's Spurs, I would love to see it. People have talked about this year's Warriors against last year's Spurs. I think last year's Spurs team win. I think offensively that Spurs team just, they would have had an easier time scoring than the Warriors would. That Spurs team was ridiculous. I'd probably pick that year, last year's Spurs team in 6. I think the Warriors would give them a series, no question, but that Spurs team was ridiculous. So again, LeBron, as he should be an underdog. Not because of him. It's because Kyrie is limited. You don't have Kevin Love. And you're banking on guys like Tristan Thompson, Mozgov, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert to play up to the level of Steph Curry's posse of Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Harrison Barnes, Andre Iguodala, Andrew Bogut, Maurice Spates, Festus Ezeliz, Shaun Livingston, Leandro Bosa off the bench. That's a real team. This Cavs team is good where they are right now. They swept Atlanta. It's a good Cavs team. They have legitimate bigs that rebound, get them offensive rebounds, especially with Tristan Thompson. They've got shooters. Kyrie can shoot the 3. Dellavedova can shoot the 3. J.R. Smith can shoot the 3. Shumpert can shoot the 3. LeBron is shooting 17% from 3 this postseason. So he's not even, you know, he's shooting it historically terrible. The worst ever. The minimum attempt, I think, clause of that stat was 60 attempts, which is a lot. That's the worst shooting percentage ever in postseason history if it keeps up 17% from 3. So LeBron's not even shooting it well. And yet this team is back in the final, 12-2 in the postseason. You know. So, hats off to LeBron getting it this far, getting them this far. Coming in, I mean, you know, it's easy to tell my respect for LeBron, and I thought that Chicago coming into this year, newly formed teams to me, their first year together, shouldn't be winning the finals, let alone making the finals. So, this is a successful year for Cleveland, in my opinion, even if they got swept. A successful year. Because to me, they have overachieved already. If they get swept, it's a successful year. So again, if they supposed to lose, the Warriors are a better team. I don't put that on LeBron. I don't knock that from his, you know, place in history of all-time great. That's another headline that, to me, it just doesn't make sense. Jordan goes 6-0 in the finals. You know, that's a different level. That's a stat that, you know, realistically will probably never be broken. No one's ever realistically going to go 7-0, 8-0, 9-0 in the final. It's just not going to happen. 7-8 years to actually get there because he needed the supporting cast around him to be good. When he left the league, I think it was the first time, he won a title. He left. And the Bulls won 3 less games the next regular season than they did the year before with Jordan. They won 3 fewer games without Jordan. Again, I'm not saying that MJ's, you know, not the best player ever, because probably top 2 if you take out, you know, ridiculous big men. Even if you throw him in, you can make the argument that he's the best player ever. But it's a legitimate debate for me, LeBron or MJ. LeBron falling to 2-4, which I assume he will in this finals, that doesn't make a difference to me. MJ only made 6 finals. LeBron's made 6 finals already. That's worth something to me. Someone brought up the point that, you know, if Tom Brady didn't lose a couple Super Bowls to the Giants, and he only, you know, say he lost in the AFC Championship to Manning a couple times, or lost in one wild card round, one of those times. And he was, what does he have, 4 rings now? So if he was 4-0, you know, would that be better than 4-2? Statistically, sure, but back to him for getting to 6 Super Bowls as opposed to 4. That's still a bigger accomplishment. It's a bigger accomplishment to win your conference finals and lose in the finals to a better team than to lose in the conference finals or rounds earlier than that and not make it to as many finals. Magic Johnson, I think, made it to, what was it, 11 finals? It's either 9 or 11. And he went like 5-6 or 5-4. Or, you know, his finals record isn't that spectacular. I'm looking it up now because I'm curious. But that's the thing with Magic. Yeah, he made it into 9. He's 5-4. That's not an indictment to lose 4 finals. He made it to 9. That's a hell of an achievement. So yeah, Magic hasn't won as many rings as Jordan, and he's lost 4 more than Jordan. But to make it to 9 as opposed to 6, that's pretty damn good. He made it in 1980. He made it in 82. He made it 83, 84, 85. 87, 88, 89, 91. I mean, over a 12-year stretch, he made it to 9 finals. That's insane. 12 years, 9 finals. I forgot how long Jordan played, but, you know, he made it to 6. That whole thing about LeBron, you know, being 2-4 in the finals and that hurting his legacy, that doesn't make sense to me. You know, a lot of the headlines, long story short, with this series, after I've just, you know, babbled on for half an hour about, you know, these two, Curry and LeBron, a lot about LeBron. This series isn't won or lost based on Curry or LeBron. It's based on the supporting cast. You don't put all the blame on LeBron. You don't put all the credit to Curry if the Warriors win. It's not just Curry. Curry's going to have a pretty good series. He's not going to be spectacular. The Cavs won't let Curry have a spectacular final series. He's not going to average 33-9 and, you know, 4 or 5 rebounds while shooting 45% from 3. The Cavs just aren't going to let him do that. If he does, then that's a hell of a performance, and he deserves Finals MVP, no question about it. But I don't think he's going to average, you know, 33-8, shooting 45% from 3. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think guys like Shumpert can slow him down. I think Dellavedova is a gnat defensively. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's good. But I think he can be annoying. I don't think Curry's just going to get wide-open look after wide-open look. There's a stat I saw that this postseason he's shooting like 60% from 3 on uncontested threes. He's shooting 33% when he's contested. The Cavs over the course of the series are going to contest the 3. They're not stupid. This is a smart team. Curry's going to have a pretty good series. Probably going to average like 24-6, 24-7. Shoot high 30s. 38, 39, maybe 40% from 3. It's going to have a good series. No question. But it will be a question if the Warriors do win, which I think they will. It'll be, you know, I'm more toward the side of 4-2 as opposed to 4-1 or the series going 7 games or Cleveland winning it. I think I would put my money, if I had 2 options, Golden State in 6 or Golden State in 5. I'm going with Golden State in 6. I think it'll be 2-2, and then Golden State wins Game 5 at Cleveland and Game 6 at home. Or, sorry, Game 5 at home, Game 6 on the road. And they win at 4-2. I think it'll be 2-2. I think Cleveland steals one of these first two in Golden State, and I think Golden State steals one in Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland just gets one at home. I think that seems to be the popular pick, that it's Golden State in five. I think Cleveland wins a couple. Call me crazy. So, again, though, I don't think Curry's going to have this spectacular series. I don't think it's going to be a unanimous, oh, he easily deserves finals MVP. It could be a guy like Draymond Green, who averages, say, 14 and 8, you know, with 4 or 5 assists a game while playing Deion LeBron for 35 minutes. It could be that. Iguodala's not going to get, you know, finals MVP talk if they win, but if he plays a lot of defense on LeBron, if Klay Thompson plays a lot of defense on LeBron, I think it's, for the most part, going to be Draymond Green, but Harrison Barnes isn't going to be able to do it. So there will be a flippage somewhere defensively in this series, position-wise. It's not going to be straight across the board. So, you know, this series is much more than just LeBron and Curry. The fact that you have Klay Thompson, the fact that you have David Lee coming off the bench and not playing, you have an all-star power forward not playing because this Golden State team is so good and deep. Maurice Spates plays a bigger role than David Lee. David Lee's the highest paid player on the team. That's Golden State. They're just a better team all around. Defensively, number one off, efficiency-wise. Cleveland was like 18. So, you know, for me, Golden State is just a better team. That's not an indictment on LeBron. That's not Curry having so much, you know, that big a differential in, you know, how well the series goes for those two. I don't think Curry's going to outperform LeBron like, you know what. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're both going to have a really good series. But the Warriors team is just better than the Cavs right now. Maybe not a year from now, once the Cavs have a year to gel and they're healthier. And that's another amazing thing about this Warriors team, is that, you know, as long as Klay Thompson isn't dizzy on the court, they're essentially 100% health-wise. That's a huge thing going into the finals. You have Kevin Love healthy. You have Kyrie Irving at 100%. I still favor Golden State because I would still trust their offense and defense more, and they're still a deeper team with a better coach. Nothing changes overall. Even if Cleveland's 100% healthy, but Golden State, I would consider them 100% healthy. I think Klay Thompson's going to be 100% fine. I mean, no player realistically is 100%, but let's be real. Golden State is as healthy as you can be. You could ask for. Oh, hopefully Klay doesn't get another concussion. That's your only real concern, injury-wise. Cleveland is down one of their guys that they could pay $20 million next year. He's not going to play. Another guy that's worth, you know, over $20 million a year is going to be 70 to 80%. He can't do the things offensively he wants to. He's said that. It's easy watching that that's evidence. So, you know, health advantage Golden State by mile. Just check, 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 check down the list of where Golden State has advantages. It's not Curry-LeBron. The series isn't Curry versus LeBron. Not even close to that. It's how much better Curry's supporting cast is than LeBron. That's the difference in the series. Yeah, if you think Curry's had the better season over LeBron, regular season, sure. Postseason, Curry's doing amazing things. So is LeBron. Even though he's shooting like garbage. I forgot what the stat was. He's averaging, I think it's 29, 8 and 7 or something. It's somewhere around there, those numbers. The only other player to do that in postseason history, if LeBron keeps that up, is Oscar Robertson. So it might be like 28, 10, and 7. It's ridiculous numbers. And he's shooting like garbage. the series is not Curry LeBron. Golden State's not going to win because of Curry or because of LeBron playing like crap. Cleveland's not going to win because of LeBron being the best player in the league and just being so much better than Curry. That's not going to be the difference in the series. If Cleveland wins, it's because Shumpert played exceptional D on the perimeter against either Thompson or Curry. And J.R. Smith comes up huge from three. Dellavedova comes up huge from three. Is annoying enough defensively to give Curry problems. Some problems. And inside, Mozgov has his thing. And Tristan Thompson gets a boatload of rebounds. Draymond Green is trying to stretch the floor. And so Cleveland wins the rebounding edge. Cleveland defensively has been much better than their numbers show. Like I said, I think they were 18th efficiency-wise during the regular season. Defensively, they're obviously better than 18th right now. Harrison Barnes, he could just completely get locked up by LeBron if that's how the Cavs decide to play it. There is a way Cleveland can win, but it's not solely going to be because LeBron is the best player on the planet. That's going to be a big part. But it's the other guys around him stepping up. It's Kyrie giving the Cavs more than they think he will. It's the guys I mentioned before stepping up, playing their roles that they need to. There's a game plan for Cleveland. It can be seen how Cleveland can win the series. But again, I would say Golden State in either 6 or 5. My final pick is Golden State in 6. Like I said, I think it'll be 2-2, and then Golden State wins the final two games. I think each team steals one game from the opponent's home floor in the opening four games of the series. That's how I think it goes. If I had to pick it perfectly, I'll say Golden State wins game one, Cleveland wins game two. I'm going to go with Golden State game three, Cleveland game four, and then Golden State 5 and 6. If I had to pick it, exact. But, again, it's the supporting cast. Cavs aren't the greatest defensive team in the world. The Warriors are going to have their way most of the series offensively. One game, LeBron will just completely take over like he did. The one game he appeared in these two teams playing each other in the regular season, LeBron just completely took over. Had like 40, 10, and 4 or something. Shot like 60% from 3 in that game. He completely took over. I think he'll do that in one game. And then another game, the supporting cast will rise and everyone will be like, wow, this Cleveland team isn't half bad. It'll be 2-2. But Golden State's just a better team. So I think they finish it in 6. That's where I'm going. Not because Curry is better than LeBron. Those two will not control the series. It's Golden State's depth, supporting cast, that is that much better than Cleveland's right now. Golden State in 6 is my pick. It's been fun, everyone. Great talking to you. I'll obviously give you another few podcasts as the series goes along. Check out the RedLightSportsNetwork.com. Follow us at RLSN Basketball. It's been fun, guys. Adios.